Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our epistle reading comes to us from the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan and the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters and makes the clouds of his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire.
He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work.
You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart.
The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers.
He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening.
O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, which you formed to play in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Children of dust, as feeble as frail, in you Lord, fight you to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. From Luke chapter 15. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, A severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. This is the gospel of our Lord. To you, O Christ. You may be seated for the sermon hymn.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I was inviting people on Sunday morning to join us for our Wednesday evening worship of Thanksgiving, I mentioned that this is not going to be a guilt trip. I have often in the past preached this way myself. You ought to be thankful. If you're not, repent, and then be thankful that God forgives you, right? And by the way, that's what Pastor Harvla told me was his sermon tonight. But anyhow, it's not a matter of you ought to be thankful. What we want to do here today, and what we've already been doing throughout the service, is having spirit call to spirit. God the Holy Spirit calling to the spirit put in us to simply give thanks for all that our God has done. As we hear what God has done, our spirits respond simply with thanksgiving. We started our service with some of the most basic fundamental things of our faith. That's what the opening, the antiphons of thanks, those responsive readings were all about in our first hymn. They celebrate the things that we gather together to thank God for, not just at this time of the year, a national Thanksgiving, but the things we thank God for on a weekly and even daily basis. The works of God summed up in providence, in salvation, in sanctification, and guidance. First is the providence of God, the purview of God the Father, the Creator, the one who made the world and all that exists. The one that Luther captured so well in writing the Catechism, saying that he provides everything that has to do with the needs of the body, such as food and drink, clothing and shoes, house, home, land, animals, goods, and money, a devout husband or devout wife, devout children, devout and workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputations, good friends and faithful neighbors, and the list could simply go on. God's creative power keeps giving things, keeps providing, keeps filling basic human needs. Our God provides, and for that, we thank Him. And on top of that, then, is the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth and was born in poverty to rescue an impoverished humanity. He lived an obedient life in order to redeem a rebellious people. He suffered to save those enslaved to sin. He died to reroute the deathbound. He rose from the grave to open all graves. The well-laid eternal plan of God led to the cross, through the grave, and it leads to life everlasting. Our God saves, and for that, we give Him thanks. And for His guidance. What will we do without the Spirit's strong and ever-providing guidance? This counselor who blew into the church with fire and mighty wind on Pentecost morning. This heavenly wind that continues to brood over the waters of the font as each member of God's family is washed clean in the blood of Christ. This strong and certain guide who draws us together in order that we might grow in Christian fellowship, in order that we might hear the word of God, in order that we might share in a divine food. He shapes us and he forms us to be the people he wants us to be, and he sends us as light in the midst of a very darkened world. Our God guides us, and for that, we thank him. We thank God indeed, for he gives us the providence we need, the salvation we need, the guidance we need. Our triune God gives all needs and completely fulfills them, so that our thankfulness simply overflows. But those are sort of the basics of our thanksgiving, the fundamentals. It's actually sort of where our praises start. But then, even as our praise is bouncing off the throne of the Most High, our God's surprising grace kicks into even higher gear. He showers us with so much more than just what's needed. Psalm 104 is a veritable ode to the so much more providence of God. It is a longer psalm. Yeah, we all heard it this evening. And as we heard it, we joined our praises along with the psalmist. I mean, could you hear the joy of the psalmist? The increasing, redounding praise of God's creative providence? The psalm starts with the basics again. God made the heavens. God made the earth. God brought an end to the floodwaters and set a boundary for them. But then the praises grow, because the earth contains an astounding variety, hills and valleys, mountains and springs. I mean, God could have created a flat, static earth had he wanted to, and that would have been good enough, but he created it to be beautiful, and in doing so gave us so much more. And the psalmist moves on in a variety of creatures that populate God's earth, the cattle and the donkey, the goats and the conies, the stork and the lion, and every animal of the forest. There's the so much more of all the birds of the air. And the psalmist finally basks in the sheer opulence of it all. Oh, the sea creatures, both great and small. And oh, the Leviathan, the great, unknown, mysterious, long-stretched creature. My God is, he's just playing now, the psalmist says, showing off his creative flair. Again, it could have been that there was nothing but crickets, and that would certainly have been enough. But God gives so much more. In the creation of every creature, in this menagerie of beasts, so much more. And Paul basks too in this so much more grace of God. In our epistle reading today, Paul's words to his good friends in Ephesus, they build to this bright epiphany of praise. Even from a jail cell, God's great grace cannot be contained. Paul speaks of the great mystery that's now been made known, that this salvation is not just for God's Old Testament people, but God's salvation is for all, including the Gentiles. And he uses phrases like the unsearchable or the boundless riches of Christ and the riches of his glory. And even that we have access to God himself. It's amazing. And so much more. And then Paul reaches this glorious crescendo with his prayer for the believers in Ephesus. I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Paul's like trying to stretch his mind to understand the dimensions of Christ's love. He's promising the unimaginable to be filled with God. I mean, you can practically see Paul jumping around in his little jail cell, chains clattering on the stone. He's doing a dance of jubilant praise for the enormity of God's love in Christ. And it's not just for them. It's not just for the world. But in Jesus' words, God's over-the-top grace becomes poignantly personal. The prodigal son. Wasteful with his inheritance, comes face to face with his father. A father who we see as, well, downright wasteful with his overabundant forgiveness and wasteful with his grace. The son had already received more than he deserved. He had already received his entire inheritance from his father before his father even passed away. And he squandered it all. But when he returns, there's a robe and a ring and sandals for his feet and a royal banquet. Nothing, nothing at all that he deserved, but everything given to him. Yes. If you remember the story, we do have the older brother and his complaints to deal with, but not today. I told Pastor Berg, we're going to chop the parable off at its first ending. Because today we are simply reflecting and relishing in the extravagant, the lavish, the over-the-top, so much more love of God in Christ. It boggles the mind and it opens the heart so that we can't help but cry out with the Apostle Paul, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we think or ask, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.